especially the part about our city going bankrupt. Always like to be reminded of those things. Really, it is an important thing to keep in mind. It is a painful experience to be going through a city of that size having that kind of difficulty. We may get to look forward to that as an entire nation someday if things keep going the way they are. Here we are 7 days after a monumental decision by our Supreme Court. And I don't really intend to deal with the political aspects of that decision so much as some long-range spiritual aspects that you won't hear about on the news and you won't hear about in the coffee shops or in the newspapers. But I want to talk tonight about the connection between faith, our religious, moral natures, the demands on faith that God has placed upon us, our moral consciousness, the connection between that part of our being and our families. The family being the first human institution created by God for the benefit of man. And then finally, the institution of freedom. I have a gift for you tonight. I assume that, I know that this congregation is a very, very spiritually minded congregation. I know that you all own Bibles. And I would hope and believe and trust that you study those Bibles and are familiar with them and continue to reap great benefit from the instruction of God's Word. But I have another gift for you tonight. And it is a copy of the Constitution of the United States of America. The United States of America is the most unique nation that has ever visited this planet. And sadly, it is rapidly degenerating. The principles upon which it was founded are being forgotten. Our first president, President George Washington, in one of his inaugural speeches, made the statement that how can a nation expect to retain any blessings from heaven if it forgets the great creator, the great architect of human beings and its activities on this planet? And yet in this nation, we continue to attack and destroy everything good and wholesome. And with that path can only come destruction. Not that George Washington was a prophet, but I think what he said was true. And his prediction that should we forget God, our nation cannot expect to retain his blessings. I think that was a very true statement. Grat, can we have these passed out? I have some handouts that you might want to follow along with, some things that we discussed tonight. The papers, yes. If you'd like a copy of the Constitution, I have them in a box here. I would really encourage each one, if you haven't read it in some time, to pick it up and read it. And I would start in the back where there's the Declaration of Independence. I think that gives some context to the Constitution because of the grievances that the founding fathers were having at that time with the King of England and tyranny give a lot of context. And I would just challenge you as we are very familiar with the preamble of the Constitution, but if we look through the grievances and see how many of those things are actually taking place today, might shock you. So I think this this would be very valuable to have, and especially if there's any young people that might one day, somebody might be actually appointed here to the Supreme Court. You might want to read that before you go in to deliberate. But that's my gift to you. And so let's continue with our lesson. If you would turn to the first page, and I've drawn a little diagram there. The three cornerstones of a fruitful life. You know, the first command that God gave Adam and Eve in the garden was to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And while the main significance of those terms, if you look up the actual language there, has reference to reproduction, there's also, it's interesting that the term fruitful is used because it has reference to a plant blooming forth and the plant being a symbol of reproduction, but it's also a symbol of fertility, of fruitfulness. And we are commanded to be fruitful people. God did not place us on this planet to be dormant, but rather to be fruitful people, blessing those around us with our influence and our abundance and our faith in Christ. These three cornerstones or three elements of a fruitful life, I think, are very important to understand. If we're going to achieve a great potential for being fruitful, whether in the church or whether it's in our personal lives, there is a great correlation between these three elements. First of all, and I'm going to go over this quickly because I have a lot of material here and we're not going to be able to cover it all, but very briefly, the pinnacle of a fruitful life is faith. Without faith in God, without spiritual guidance, without the influence of truth and Christ's great work, all of our work, no matter what it is, whether it's in our lives, whether it's in our professions, whether it's in our nation, they're all empty, vanity. The great wise Solomon made this case very forcefully in the great book of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. That all life, the whole duty of man, the whole of man, actually, is to serve God and keep His commandments. And it's from faith in God and from a religious and moral component that all life has meaning. And I'm sure you know individuals, you're aware of people that maybe have a family, and they share holidays together, they share happy times together, and yet they have virtually no influence of God in their lives. And if you have, like me, reflected upon those things, you think sometimes about how empty those lives are without God in their lives, and how vanity, that was the word that Solomon used. Then, of course, we have the connection between faith and family. God designed the family not merely to provide us a domain of domestic solitude and happiness. You know, there is a great movement today to redefine what the family is and to define it however we like. In fact, this very week, a bill was introduced in my home state of California by Senator Leno from, this is not Jay Leno, by the way, this is Mark Leno from San Francisco, if that gives you any clue. And his bill would allow for multiple individuals to be listed on birth certificates. Not a father and a mother. You can define however many parents you would like to have. And the stated purpose for this is, well, times are changing, we need to be modern, the family isn't always the way it has always been, it's changing, and so we need to keep up with the times. And I would like to give a little news flash to Mr. Leno, that the purpose of a birth certificate is to establish who the birth parents are. Not who the three daddies are. Who will have shared custody and trade the adopted little boy around every other weekend. This is an attack on the family, and it's being waged in our legislatures, in our government, in our courts. And sadly for California, the battle was lost 4 decades ago. It's a little too late now. We have passed Defense of Marriage Acts 3 times. They've been overturned every time by the men and women in black robes. Why is that the case? Well, China, in business, plans, they have a saying about America and China. They say, America companies plan for the next quarters in terms of the stock market. So they want results, the next reporting for the next quarter. And that's how business operates in the United States. In China, they say they're planning for the next 100 years. The homosexual movement has been implemented 40 years ago. And I think for a lot of people who were caught or surprised by the force of that movement, it's a little too late. It's kind of too late once a whole generation has been taught in the public schools that, you know, it's okay if little Bobby likes little Richie. They've been taught that for 30 years. And while little Bobby may think, ooh, he has been conditioned for 30 years to think, if not me, well, somebody else, it's okay. And so now we're at the state in the state of California where we're fighting tooth and nail to defend the family, but by and large, it's a little too late. But the family is under attack. The family is the foundation of all constituted authority. So there's 2 different types of authority. There is inherent authority. God has inherent authority. What he says, when he says, let there be light, there becomes light because of his intrinsic, inherent authority. The Hebrews writer declares that Christ has inherent authority. Even the worlds, which were framed by the word of his power, are upheld by his very word. But there is also constituted authority. Authority that has been assigned by God in various roles. For example, Moses had constituted authority. He didn't have intrinsic authority. He wasn't authoritative because of some special nature that he had that was different from everybody else, but God selected him as the leader of the people. And when Korah and his companions tried to remove Moses from his constituted authority, God had a statement about that. He opened the ground and swallowed those men up, and they were never seen again. You couldn't even have a funeral for the guy. That's what God thinks about people who usurp constituted authority, especially authority constituted by him. The family is the foundation of constituted authority. It is the first place where power is taught to be restrained. When a little three-year-old comes into the sandbox and decides that he wants the little toy, and so he hits the other one over the head and takes it away, well, you've got to correct that. By the way, New Hampshire has just introduced a bill which went unanimously through the Senate and is going to the House to outlaw spanking in that state. It will be the first state to statewide completely outlaw spanking. And it's really a much more broader definition, because not only can you not inflict injury upon a child, which nobody in their right mind would support, nobody supports injuring children, but the wording used in the New Hampshire bill is that not only can you not injure, but you cannot inflict pain upon a child, which, given our recent court decisions, what constitutes pain? Taking away the cookie? Boy, they can cry. No swatting on the bottom. So the little boy that comes over and whacks another kid in the head and takes the toy away cannot be disciplined, because you might inflict some kind of pain on that child. Well, this is what we call the beginning of uncivilized behavior. The way we teach civilized behavior is that we must restrain power. This is the idea in the Constitution of limited government, limited power to the government. Otherwise, they will be tyrants. And if little Bobby, who hits Jimmy in the head, is not restrained, he may do it again. And if he's not further restrained, he may do it again and actually enjoy it. There's a man named Shermantine, who is currently serving in San Quentin Prison. He was raised not far from my home. He and his friend, as teenagers, well, back up, when they were children, I actually knew some people that knew him as a child. His grandfather would take a quarter, a brand new quarter, and he would tell the boys, "You guys get out there and fight, and whoever wins gets the quarter." So they would fight. One of them would win one time, maybe one of them the other time. Shermantine then grew up and found a buddy in high school that he joined up with. And they went on a rampage, lasted several years. They were serial killers. They enjoyed it. Many times it was not for any kind of sexual deviancy. They just got to enjoying hunting people. One of their victims was an elderly man who had run out of gas on the side of the road. They were passing through the state of Nevada. They pulled over about 100 yards after his car, got out with a rifle, shot him, left him there. No sense, no reason. This is uncivilized behavior. New Hampshire wants us to not inflict any pain upon children. The family is where we learn constituted authority. It's where governments find good citizens who've been raised to be contributors to more than themselves. They've learned to work in a family a loving family. That's where the basis of society comes from. And yet we find all kinds of attacks upon the home. And then freedom. I saw somebody post on Facebook after the recent court decision regarding health care. And someone says, we trust in God. And I trust in God, I do. He's been so good to me. And he's been good to you. We've just finished a great study on the book of Job. Even when we don't understand what's going on in our lives, and there's no indication in the book of Job that Job ever was explained all what was going on with Satan and everything. Even at the end of the book, there's no explanation that Satan came and challenged, and this was done so that others could read about you. None of that was explained to Job. But the great lesson he learned was to trust in God, in spite of what was going on. And it was difficult for him. He went through tremendous heartache and pain. He went through personal attacks by his friends, his family. He lost his children, lost his prosperity. And yet he learned through all that that Jehovah God rules. He learned to trust in God. And so we trust in God. But that doesn't mean that when we see injustice taking place, when we see a woman being assaulted, that we just say, we should trust in God. When we see a child being abused, our trust is in God. You see, freedom is a very, very important component. You know, the greatest selling comic book hero of all time was Superman. And up until a few years ago, you remember the big idea that was at the core of the Superman hero? There were three things. What were they? Truth. What was the other one? Justice. And the American way. And a couple of years ago, to kind of make things smooth with everybody, they changed the ending there and took off the American way. Really, not to be flippant or anything, but the real big idea is that there is no real American way. It's the Christian way. You see, America would not exist if it were not for Christian influence. The principles of Christianity were at the root of what made America great. It was, even though many of the founders were of various denominational backgrounds, the influence of Christianity was what drove them to consider the individual more important. It's the only nation that has ever instituted the importance of the individual, other than the Hebrew nation. In all the nations that have existed, no other nation has given the individual the rights that the United States of America has given. They came out of